I'm not going to play these instruments tonight. Okay? I don't know how to. I barely can play the radio. So the AGs are with us tonight. And this is the first time I met them. And they're staying in the house. And they're up here. He'll tell you a little bit. You can tell him about the Bible reading thing. And they got seven kids and seven big kids. Not little ones. No shorties. And so they travel together and enjoy it. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to turn it over to them, let them sing as long as I want them to sing, okay? Is that okay with y'all? I can use some good singing. And so Milton went to be with the Lord 1 a.m., 1:30. And if you didn't know Milton, he came here every once in a while. Showed up, right? And he was, if there was a loner in the world, he was a loner. And but he's Tim's friend, and Tim was all he had, really, besides his friend he just met lately. And his dog. He had a dog, didn't he? He used to have a dog. And so he passed away. And so Tim has to take care of everything, paperwork and all that stuff. And we'll see him again. The hospital did everything they could. Tim did everything he could. And it was God's timing. And everybody's birth certificate has an expiration date. So we're going to pray to begin with, and pray for the service tonight, and then the AGs will sing for us, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day, and thank you for this morning service, how you worked. Thank you for the visitor that came, and as a result of passing out tracts. And Lord, we just pray that you would comfort Tim and the family and in the homegoing of Milton. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to realize our time is short and enjoy the time we have with each other. And Lord, we thank you for the AGs offering to sing for us tonight. And we thank you for their testimony. And we pray that you'd fill them with your spirit as they minister to us in music. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, y'all. Is that how you talk down in Pikeville?
We're going to start off singing a little bit about heaven, and we usually, people in the north, we break them in slow. We're just going to go all out Tennessee style and sing "I'll Fly Away," all right? Since the pastor's already got our dialect down pat, he said y'all better than we do.
Life is over, I'll fly away, to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away.
Songs written about heaven, and they ought to have been written, because I tell you, we can sing about a better place to go. I'm glad that there's more than what there is down here. Now, we have promise, if we're saved, going to home in heaven one day after a while. One of the greatest songs I believe that's ever been written about heaven is written by a young man, preacher boy from West Virginia. I guess he's not so young then, and certainly not young now, but he's still alive. Squire Parsons wrote a song called Beulah Land. I tell you, I love this old song. Let it minister to your heart.
I'm longing
the AG family, and we're from Pikeville, Tennessee. Does anybody know where Pikeville is in Tennessee? Some people know where Pikeville, Kentucky is. We're a small town. We're in the middle of Knoxville, Nashville, and Chattanooga, so right in the center of those three major cities, but we're way out in the country in the sticks, and whatever we're doing up in Maryland, I have no idea. About five years ago, we told the Lord that we would go wherever that he would send us, and we pray that God will open the doors he wants opened and close the doors he wants closed, and that's what God's been doing faithfully for 5 years, and we thank you for the opportunity to be at your church tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to stay in your, and the pastor stuttered on this too, he said the house. So we stay in prophet's quarters, we stay in fellowship halls, we stay in mission houses, we stay in mission houses, ministry houses. Anyway, there's all sorts of names, but y'all have a nice place to stay over there. We appreciate getting to stay there. Last time we was in D.C., we were paying $250 a night for a hotel. And it means a lot to us and financially, and it's a lot safer and just better out here. I guess y'all in the country?
Glendale's kind of a little oasis right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I've learned about Glendale. When I got up yesterday morning, or this morning, my days all run together, I heard chickens. Roosters. So I thought, I'm in the country. And then as I was driving out today, I seen, looked like a lady working in the garden, a big garden, bigger gardens than we have in Tennessee. So anyway, I suppose we're in the country. It's a real nice place to stay. We're here because of the D.C. Bible Reading Marathon. It was started 33 years ago, and I can't remember the name of the person that started it, but there's a great story behind why it started. It started from a mission trip to the Holy Land where they read the scriptures aloud over there in the Holy Land. I believe it was on the Mount of Olives. And the person that was over there, the pastor, had a burden and brought it back and said, I want to do that in our nation's capital, and he got permission and all that. Well, about, I suppose, 4 to 5 years ago, the ministry of the Bible Reading Marathon, the people that were doing it got ill and their health was failing and they couldn't do it anymore. So the ministry got handed off to a friend of ours, and his name is Keith Davidson, and he's the president of Seedline International, and they send Bibles all over the world along with Sunday school literature and tracts and all sorts of things like that. So that's how we got involved in the Bible Reading Marathon. Then COVID put a crunch on everything, and it did as well there. And then whatever happened last year, I think they had a fence up around the city or something. That's what they're telling me. And it's been almost impossible to get anything done in D.C., especially if God's concerned. And that's somebody else's problems to deal with. But we didn't get to come last year or the year before. This year, though, everything opened back up. We applied for a permit. We read the scriptures on the west steps of the nation's capital and read the scriptures over the nation 90 consecutive hours. Right now, while we're singing, somebody's over there reading the scriptures. And so the permit was always applied for by Keith Davidson the day after the marathon ends. So there's 360 days that they have to approve this permit. Well, the administration that we have in Washington today, whoever's in charge of that, wasn't in any hurry to approve our permit. But we do have a friend in Matt Staver and the group that's now called Faith and Liberty. And so they have provided us a place just a few blocks from the Capitol. And we're reading the Bible from that location. So it's the Faith and Liberty building on 2nd Avenue, I believe. So that's what brought us to D.C. And we were scheduled to be in your ministry house. We were scheduled to be here singing on Sunday morning, I think 2 years ago. And then all of that got put off. So here we are. And there's a little bit of history about why we're in D.C. It's not our first time to be in D.C. We've had opportunity and invitations to sing at another event up here in D.C. They have church in the Capitol building on Wednesday nights. A lot of people don't know that. But for the security guards and the congressmen and women that are, you know, not able to get home for their church service, they have service there. And so we got to be a part of that service at one time. There's a lot of stories to tell, but we're just glad to be with you tonight. And we just want to mind the Lord tonight and sing that he put upon our hearts. We look for answers today. We look and everywhere, especially in D.C., but people are jumping up saying, I've got the answer, look over here. Well, if you're like me, in the last 2 years, society has failed to give us answers. They failed to give us answers. And as Christians, we shouldn't have been looking to those people anyway. We should have always been looking to Jesus. But there's politicians that claim to have the answer. The news media thinks they have the answer. Doctors and scientists think they have the answer. But the answers that we're looking for are found in Jesus Christ and found in His Word. God gave us this song. We didn't write it, but God brought this song back to us to sing about a year and a half ago, which really helped us in these times. And it tells us as the church and as Christians not to look on the earth for the solution to our problems, but lift up our eyes and look to heaven. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, or my servants would fight." Over in Revelation, He said, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ." So there's a kingdom coming, and that kingdom that's coming is what we're looking to for our answers. I'm glad the kingdom of God is within you. I'm glad that we're saved by the grace of God. We're part of that kingdom today. I tell you, it's going to be all right when Jesus shows up. Can you say amen? There is a kingdom coming.
Ask me why I stand to sing, what glad tidings these lips bring. I proclaim to you one thing, there is a kingdom coming. Let this joyous anthem roll, stirring peace within each soul. His plans in place, God's in control. There is a kingdom coming. Every wrong will be made right, and all that's faith will be made sight. End of shadows, all troubled times, evil plots its dark designs, but soon all faithless hearts will find there is a kingdom coming. Every wrong will be made right, and all that's faith will be made. Shadows, only light. There is a kingdom coming. So come, Lord Jesus, let all who hear sing. Come, Lord Jesus, may the day be wrong will be made right, and all that's faith will be made sight. End of shadows, only light. There is a kingdom coming.
Introduced the Agee family from Pipeville, Tennessee. Then I got sidetracked and didn't tell you who they were. That's my bad. I'm not very good at all this thing. That's my wife, Stephanie, on the piano. My name is Scott. We've been married for 30 years. These are our five children. And our oldest daughter, Morgan's in the middle. She's 25. And Megan's standing beside me. She's 24. Madison's on the other side. And she is 22. And then Seth is 18 years old, standing by her. And Samuel's over there on the far end. He's 14. We're glad to be with y'all tonight. Fear not tomorrow. We got time for one more. Fear not tomorrow. God's already there. A lot of fear today. You study your Bible. What does the Bible have to say about fear? It's an interesting study. Tell you what, we're not supposed to fear man. We're certainly not supposed to fear what hasn't happened yet, but that's what's being preached to us by the world today, a lot of fear. But I'm glad that we can have hope in Jesus. I found one thing. When I get my fear with God right, He takes all the other fears away. Fear not tomorrow. God's going to be there.
This age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not to.
Receive our regular offering. And so nobody's out here shaking their hankies already, are they? Make sure it's a clean one, okay? Amen. And then maybe after we do the offering, maybe y'all come back and do a couple. Can you do For All He's Done? And maybe I Believe God. You think you can handle that? And then we'll preach a little bit and maybe get one more. Amen. Mama was over here on that piano tearing it up. She's got her hankies over there and everything. She's just ready for it all. Amen. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Huh? They didn't leave anything in the closet when they just reared back and sang. Amen. That's good stuff. Well, let's have a couple fellas come for the offering. Let's give. Don't forget God's tithe and the faith promise. And let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget the Wednesday night master clubs. And don't forget the series we're going through with Brother A.J. I was in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, preaching on restoring folks. And I couldn't get past that, ye that are spiritual. So we're taking Wednesday nights, preaching on ye that are spiritual, and just find out what God thinks is spiritual. Everybody talks like they're spiritual or on fire for God. And we live in this facade type society. We can't play. It's too late in the game to play. So we're preaching that. And Tuesday night visitation, 7 o'clock. We had a visitor this morning. Said I had something on my door. Amen. And man, he listened. Didn't raise his hand for salvation, but gave me his address, so he's in trouble. We will follow up with that. But pray for that. And Miss Creed's getting ready for the Mother's Day. Got some things for Mother's Day, and pray for that. We'll be in John for about four more weeks, I believe. And pray for me. I'm working on Esther. Man, that King Ahasuerus was mean. He was a terrible man. And it's hard to believe. You get into it, but it's amazing how God. Someone said it should not be named Esther. The book should be named Mordecai. But we're not going to rename it, okay? Amen. Well, you got a couple more, and I'll figure out what I'm going to preach, and then I'll come back up.
If I started now until I died,
there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son, and that's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all.
Call upon his name, and I believe.
choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God.
Keep practicing, you're going to get there, amen? Amen. That's blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
Huh? I love that. I love people that don't sit there and swallow the mics and breathe hard and all that junk out there. That's great music, man. That's
Amen.
Great.
Amen.
Well, I love church. I grew up in church. I've been in church, 5,000 people, gray-haired man, double-breasted suit. We stand to sing doxology. I've been in churches out in the country. Young man, new preacher, just learning to preach. Sat under my dad's ministry. And I've been in churches where people turned on me. You folks that were on the pulpit committee when I came here, you knew that. God doesn't mess up church, we do. And some people, the only family they have is church. And it's under attack. It really is. And God has kept this church going for years. And He's used people. And one day we'll all get together, one assembly. And that'll be good. And I'm going to need these hankies my wife put up here for me. But the church is under attack. And how it's happening is I don't like wearing ties, Brother A.G. I'd like to find a descendant of the person that invented ties and slap him or her. Wouldn't matter to me, but ties. I mean, we got to wear ties. By the way, appreciate y'all the way you're dressed, modest, look like ladies, men. But, guys are getting up in skinny jeans. And I'm not jealous because I can't fit in them. I wouldn't wear them anyway. My son works at Under Armour. He got me some pants, and I wore them down to Dad's house. And he said, "Those are skinny things." I said, "No, they aren't, Dad. They're designed that way." We had an argument. So, and you know, I don't know that I might never have one of those clear pulpits. I don't know. I'm not really. I like the wood.
Amen.
Amen.
You know. And I don't know. I don't think we need any praise teams.
Right.
I don't know what Amen. What's. I just lights and color lights, and they might make me look better. They've had some different lighting, but it's just church doesn't seem like church anymore as you look on other places. Now, we had church this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
We had church. And if we don't do anything but preach the Bible, that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And that word, my church, that means it's God's church.
Amen.
Now, we preachers talk about our churches, and we semantics say a lot. This is our church. This is not my church. I'm just a member. I just happen to be the pastor. I'm no better than anybody else. And so he says, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock," and he's not talking about Peter.
Amen.
"This rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Like Brother Kurt Sutton used to sing, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
And church is worth it. Being in church is worth it. You're in Maryland, which tells about who settled this place.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholics, pretty much, and we thank them for bingo. You're in a liberal state.
Yeah.
Our governor says he's a Republican. He's lying.
Right.
He's not. He's a liberal.
Right.
And you're in one of the most liberal counties in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ungodly.
Big time.
And you're in a place of a bunch of dividers.
Yep.
People are dividing. It's ridiculous. And but it's amazing, God has opened up opportunities during this time.
Amen.
And so there's always opportunities for people to be saved.
Yes.
And God will always protect His church.
Amen.
God will always protect His church. And He will always protect His people. So the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've been looking at the church, and we're going to continue with our sound doctrine studies. And it's a little bit teachy-preachy tonight, but we can learn. Amen? We can all learn. But I want us to think about the church as an organism tonight. The church as an organism. The church is an organism. It's the New Testament local, visible, organized, spiritual organism.
Amen.
That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
The church, and the church is a called out assembly of believers. Now, and the series of messages, Brother Tim, I'm working on, He That Is Spiritual, I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to pull back the curtain for probably this will hit in June, but what is the main purpose of the church? The main purpose of the church. And I understand what you're thinking, and we're thinking about evangelizing the world. But I believe, and that's part of it, but I believe if you look at the Gospels, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He said, tarry in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem. I believe we as church people need to back it up and realize where the power is. In chapter 1 of Acts, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not before. They waited. Says, well, Peter didn't say, well, we need to go door knocking. We need to go do this. We need to go do that. We need to go do this. And God said, tarry. He said, you wait. And they waited. And guess what happened after they waited? 3,000 souls. You say, what's the main purpose of the church? I believe the main purpose of the church is to make sure we're filled with the Spirit. That's where we're missing it. We go out and visit. Well, I'm going to visitation. The preacher wants me to go to visitation. I need to check off the box that I'm going to visitation. I need to knock on so many doors so I can be, anybody asks me, so when the preacher preaches, I can say amen instead of oh me. Right?
Right.
Stop that. Amen. Let's stop that. Let's get real, because we need, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you need to spend some time with God and make sure you're filled. You Master Club folks, I don't know how you make it through on Wednesday nights with all that energy. Mona, you said we got two more? On Wednesday nights, we got a bunch of kids out there. We got the fellowship, a bunch of teenagers out there. And we've got a few people in here. All the adults are working with the kids. But they're a handful. Mm-hmm. And then some. And some nights they come and they're really a handful. They all turn into E-Ray. E-Ray's my favorite. Huh? He's my favorite, E-Ray. If you're going to deal with those kids, love those kids, be sensitive to those kids, you better be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
If you're going to deal with some of the people you knock on their doors, or some of the friends you go, they're going through difficulty, you better be filled with the Spirit. Okay, that's not the message, but I just wanted to say that. But I want you to notice tonight the word church. The church is an organism as seen in its name. The word church means ecclesia, and it means an assembly. It means a called out assembly. Three times in the New Testament, ecclesia is translated assembly. And in those instances, the reference is to the secular called out assembly. And Acts chapter 19 and verse 32, Acts 19, 39, Acts chapter 19 and verse 41. Ecclesia is used once in reference to the assembly in the wilderness. Now, there was no church in the Old Testament. Okay? And the church is not Israel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a lie.
Amen.
And so Acts chapter 7 verse 38 talks about Mount Sinai, and there, that's talking about assembly. There are 113 uses of ecclesia, and that refers to the local visible assembly. It's talking about a church. A church. We need to understand that. We talk about the church. We're not talking about some invisible universal something. We're talking about the local church. Amen. The local church. That's what the Bible's talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. One church. One local assembly. It's used of groups of churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Galatians 1:2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So it's used of groups of churches. It's used talking about the church as an institution. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's three institutions in the Bible. The family. That's the one that Satan is really attacking. Mm-hmm. Government, he has that one, mm-hmm, pretty much. And then the church. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about the church as an institution, it's like marriage. How many of you here are married? Okay. All right. That's an individual. What are you doing, Dawn? What's that? What? Oh, please. I need to see you all after church for marriage counseling. So you are married. Brother A.G., you said you've been married 80 years?
30.
30, okay, 30 years. 30 years. Now, did you ask her to marry you, or did she ask you to marry her?
I asked her.
Okay. Amen. And so, when you got married, that it's an individual marriage. But the institution of marriage was given by God. It's an institution. And so we're talking about the institution of marriage. Well, when we talk about the church, we can talk about it in an institutional way. God instituted it. Okay? And so it talks about that. Matthew 16, 18, we just read, upon this rock I will build my church. And we want to be his church. Not all churches are his church. Amen? Some churches that used to be are not his church anymore. And so we see that. And so Ephesians 1, 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. There are many people that argue that in the invisible universal church, there's no such thing. There's no individual universal pastor.
Amen.
You know, pastors don't get their checks, and it says universal invisible church. Okay? It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Brother Pat, would you explain to me, give me just a practical understanding of why you don't believe in the universal church? I said, how practical do you want? Put it on the bottom shelf. I said, okay. We're having a Wednesday night business meeting, okay? A busload of people traveling up to Sight and Sound stop by on the way, and they come in and stay in our church for the meeting. And they sit there during the business meeting. When it's time to vote, they raise their hands. They want to vote because they're part of the universal church. What do you got to say about that? Well, they can. All right? There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's no such thing. It causes all kinds of problems. People that believe in a universal church, they're the kind of people that don't want to call themselves certain names. Like they're the kind of people who want to take the name Baptist off their name.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what do you call a Christian or a community church? You call them non-committals. I call them off-brand. I do. Off-brand, y'all ever go in a store and you've had the real McCoy and you go in the store and you get the off-brand?
Mm-hmm.
Brother, did you ever, your wife ever tell you to go get biscuits and you get an off-brand and she says, what did you bring home? Of course, down there in Pikeville, they make them from scratch still, right? Amen. And the real thing, an off-brand is just, it's just not good, right? You know, you're trying to save money, you go in, there's the Fruit Loops and there's the Fruity Circles. And you take the Fruity Circles home. And the kids get up in the morning and they go to the silverware drawer and they got knives. They're going to cut you because you got the wrong kind of cereal. This is not the real thing. Right? Y'all remember Marlo Heights used to have a Toys R Us over there by all the car dealerships? My wife and I, they did not have Transformers. Y'all remember Transformers? My kids had to have Transformers. They didn't have them. I pulled out. My wife, I looked. I said, there's a truck. They're selling Transformers. So we buy them. They open them Christmas morning and give us the look. These are not Transformers, Dad. So what do you do? I couldn't take them back. Those guys were gone. They were long gone with that truck. So what did you do? I looked high and low and finally got, near the end of January, got my kids Transformers and they let me alone. They were going to kick me out the house. Not the same thing, right? Let me just tell you something. God has given us his church to be run his way. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. This is the most exciting place to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and special services is the church.
Amen.
Because that's where God, everything that happens needs to be connected spiritually to a local church. Parachurch organizations are parasites. And we need to understand that. The local church, the ecclesia is used in the church. This word is used in the church in prospect. A lot of people use Ephesians 5:25 and following. It says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What's God saying there to us? He's talking about the church in prospect. He's talking about when we all get to heaven. So where's God going to put all those people? He'll figure it out. He figured out this earth and the universe and places we don't know, places where Star Trek went. Right? You know when they put that hyper thing, what was that? There you go. There's a Trekkie. And the warp speed. And took off. And so the church, I want you to understand, in its name, the organism, it's local. The church is an organism as seen in its nature. Let me say this. The church is called a body. And somebody says, oh, it's the body. The body. Some mystical thing. No, it's not. Why did Paul call the church a body? Because he was talking to the church at Corinth that had more problems than Carter had pills. They had more problems. Not Tim Carter, but it had all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. And he said, okay, you all need to understand something. Right? They said, okay, everybody can't be the finger, everybody can't be the... Well, let's look at it. Let's look there. 1 Corinthians. And chapter 13. I didn't write this down, so I'm going by my theological training, which is not much. First Corinthians 12, is that where it is? Notice what it says there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the biggest denomination in the world is the ignorant brethren. A lot of ignorant brethren. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, skip over to verse 11. But all these worketh that one and self same spirit. Is your spirit capitalized? Who's that talking about? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Dividing unto every man severally as he will. Look up. When you're born again, so many things happen. It almost takes a lifetime to understand it. The Holy Spirit indwells you at that moment. And he can fill you as you yield to him. But also at that moment, he gives you a gift or gifts. And one of the greatest things you can do in your Christian life is to find out what your gift is. Okay? Not talent. A gift. There's a lot of people that can teach in a college or in a high school. People have education degrees. And they can do that academically. But they're not real good teachers concerning Bible things. Why? Because they don't have that gift. They don't have that gift. Now, the gifts. What is your gift? And so he says, here's a gift. And why is it in this context in the Bible? Because your gifts are to be used in the local church. They are to be honed and sharpened in the church. That's where, you know, you remember those. I had this little girl come up to me and says, "Preacher, Pastor Creed, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted." Amen? Well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bloom where you're planted, and that's the church. And that those spiritual gifts are for the church. And the reason sometimes there's frustration in the church is the pastor doesn't know your spiritual gifts, and he gets you into a place, and it's not going to work. You've got to be in the place. No, you know, put a square peg in a round hole. Right. Now, and so look at the next. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, also is Christ. Now, the body has many members, right? Some things you've never heard about till you go to the doctor. You know, this is not working. Okay? Well, what I need? You need this medicine. $1,000 a pill, you know? I need to operate on you. Or I need to do this. Or you need to go to therapy. Nothing's free, amen? And the older you get, the more you understand, and you have more parts than you knew and learned about in biology. And it's like I sang for a singing group when Tennessee Temple was there. You remember Tennessee Temple? I traveled with a group. We had two quartets. Dr. Robinson and Dr. Faulkner couldn't decide which quartet should travel. So we got a big extended van, and we all traveled. Well, our director wanted us, every morning he would find, every night where we sang, we had 86 meetings in 10 weeks. So do the math. Killed us. And so he would find out where a nursing home was. And every morning we'd get up and get our breakfast, we'd go to the nursing home. We'd show up in the nursing home and start singing. Well, and he wanted us to talk to the people. And you all ever go into nursing homes and you say, how you doing to somebody? And they give you an organ recital. Well, my sacroiliac isn't doing this, and my aura, you know, they give you an organ recital. Amen? Paul said, listen, your body has many members, and they all have a place. I mean, if your heart is on your foot, you're in trouble. Right? If things are out of whack, you're in trouble. Right? And so it says there, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's, what's it talking about? It's not talking about Spirit baptism. It's talking about water baptism. You can write that down. Not all theologians will say that, but theologians are not right. The Bible is. And it says we're baptized into one body. It's talking about the church, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. It says we've been saved. We've been baptized. We're part of that local church. You find your place. They were in disarray. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. Paul, this, that, and the other. And then they didn't understand what was going on with tongues. And they said, you can't have tongues unless there's an interpreter. What's tongues? A foreign language. And so it was messed up. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when Paul's talking about the body, when you see the word body in the church, In the Bible, it's talking about the local church. It's talking about the functionality, how it functions, right? Now, all the ages, when you guys pull into a place, I'm just saying that. All y'all have different responsibilities, right? Who sets up the speakers? You're pointing at it. You guys aren't organized, are you? But everybody has different things, right? You have your different, and everybody pitches in, and that's how it gets done, right? And so that's the way it works. And so what the Bible's saying here, it's not talking about some universal thing. Don't take that. Don't let somebody feed you that malarkey. It's the body, and it's the local body. It's not some invisible body. And so the church. Is seen in its nature as the Christ, and Christ is the head of the body. And then the church is also called a building or temple. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now why would he call it a building? Because we have mortar and cinder blocks and trusses and all this stuff? No, because God is building us. He said, I will what? Build my church. You ought to cross-reference that for Matthew 16:18. So I will build my church. Ye are God's building. And let me tell you something. God is building us. What's the responsibility of the church? It's to evangelize. It's to wait on the Lord. Be filled with Spirit. But it's to disciple people and build people up. That's what Master Clubs is. That's what we do. We're discipling those folks. We're working on individual discipleship, and that's the important thing. And so God is building. It's God's church, and it's God's building or temple. Again, the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 through 8, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let me tell you something. It's a team effort. In the church, if you're the kind of person, if you're the one that wants to take the credit, we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. We give God the credit.
Amen.
We praise the Lord. Amen? And so, you say, and I tell people all the time, if I lead somebody to Christ, I don't put on Twitter. I don't take a picture of them and put it on Twitter. And this person, I don't do that.
Amen.
And if I go with somebody gets saved, I just say somebody gets saved. I didn't say I led them, Lord.
Right.
I don't want any credit. I really don't. Let me tell you something. When God saves somebody and he uses us to help them with that, that's a miracle. It's the greatest high I've ever had to see somebody get saved. To read the scripture and tell them they're a sinner and that they're condemned and that Christ died for them and ask them if they'd like to trust Christ as their personal Savior and they say yes. Inside I go, hoo-hoo. Now I don't do it on the outside, but inside I start jumping up and down, you know, and everything. And I get in the car, I get excited. That person passed from death unto life. That was a dead man walking, dead woman walking. God saved them. And so we need to understand it's a team effort. It's a team effort. Again, let me say this. The judgment seat of Christ will determine what kind of material was used in the church. I don't want to go to a church, and I don't want to be part of a church where it's a bunch of who's the best,
right?
I was in a church one time, and the lady was mad at me, and she said, "I have been here for 40 years," and I said, "Well, what have you done for God in 40 years?" I was not her favorite. But just because you've been here a long time doesn't make you any more spiritual than anybody else. Well, I'm a pillar of the assembly. I've preached in churches where one side of the church looked like they were all one family. It can be good and it can be bad. Huh? People fighting. I told you about the guy that every church picnic, he would hold a big drumstick up in the air. And he said, before the foundation of the world, God predestinated and preordained that I would have this chicken leg. One old boy waited. He said, next time, he ain't going to do that. He got up there, he says, before the foundation of the world, God predetermined. That guy walked up and grabbed that drumstick stuck in his mouth. He said, not today. I've heard of churches having fights over the craziest things. I've had preacher that's going to preach our anniversary revival, Brother Bailey, church up in Pennsylvania. Ichabod on that church. Mistreated him. And you've heard Brother Bailey preach. Folks, you'll hear him in the fall. He's one of the best preachers in America. I mean, he handles the body. You're gonna need your two pens probably. I mean, Brother Chad is a preacher. And they mistreated him. But you know what's happening is good preachers are leaving churches because they want to change. They want to shift change. They want to stop all the good music. They want to stop using the King James Bible. They want to stop living decent. And they want to change it. So they want him out of the picture because they know they can't fight him. So they'll find something. Judgment Day is going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long day. So the church is an organization. Let me mention this and I'll be done. The church is called the bride. at the rapture of the saints. Rapture of the saints. Jesus is coming to get his bride. Gonna be a good. There's a song. Isn't there a song about that? Take your. He'll take his bride away. And he's going to come and take us to heaven. We'll have a new body. No sickness, no pain, no taxes, right? And we'll be in heaven, and we'll stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ to answer the things in our body, done in our body. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. And it'll be revealed by fire. After that's done, Jesus will have rewards, and we'll cast our rewards at Jesus' feet. And Jesus will turn to the Father and say, "Hey, this is my bride." And the party will begin. I mean, I don't know what we're going to eat, but I've put in some requests. I had a belated birthday on birthday dinner. Went to Awful Arthur's over in St. Michael's. And I was hungry. And it was my birthday. So I ordered 2 dozen steamed oysters and a crab cake dinner. And I ate it all. And 2 of Miss Creed's scallops. And I enjoyed everything. We were the only people in that room, so I was going, She likes to watch me do that. She likes to watch me when I eat like that. When I first brought her up here, we used to have that Chesapeake Seafood Bay Seafood House. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And you could get all you could eat. And if you got the king crab legs, you could go down next to the flounder, the oysters, even frog legs. I ate them all. I ate it all. I mean, she sat there eating that gnarled up flounder that they eat down in North Carolina. She went to fish camps down there, and she'd sit there and watch me eat that. I'd take a piece of that Alaskan king crab and dip it in that butter and put it in my mouth, and it'd drip down there. And she'd sit there. She'd be done. She'd be like this, and I'd be there. We'd be there an hour and a half. She'd just sit there. Then one day we went there, and I said, "I'll have all-you-can-eat crab legs." And she said, "Me too." And I went, uh-oh. I don't know what we'll have for a marriage supper, but it's going to be good. Probably better than anything we have down here. Won't be burnt. Won't be too salty. Going to be good. A marriage supper of lamb, and then we'll wind that up. And the Lord will say, "Mount up." We'll come back with him. And we'll be with him, but he's going to defeat the armies of the world with the sword, this right here. It's going to be good. But right now it's the church age. And this is the most important place to be when the doors open. This is the place we serve together. And this is the place we put on the whole armor of God to fight against the wiles of the devil. And this is a place worth fighting for. And God saved hundreds of people through this church down through history. Amen? Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one look around. You say, "Preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home." Would you slip your hands up? God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands down. You say, "Preacher, God spoke to me tonight. God spoke to me." Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand up. Message was clear. The invitation is clear. Do you love your church? Are you involved in your church? God spoke to you. You come. Be seated. Let's get a couple offering plates. I'm going to give these folks a love offering. They're not expecting it, but we're going to give them a love offering. And be a blessing. Maybe they have given enough to buy a candy bar. I'm looking to these people. They eat, don't they? Are those boys like me? You guys, be boys like me? I eat one meal a day, all day long. Amen. Do they all eat good? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's be a blessing to these folks, and we'll give them a love offering. And boy, that music is good. Could you guys sing a couple? You all can sing a couple more? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, sing a couple more.
Pastor down in North Carolina, his name is Doug Raines. He has a daughter named Natalie. You may know the Raines family. You can find them on YouTube. They've got a CD out I recommend above our CD. It's called We Need the Church. And Natalie Raines wrote all the songs on the CD. They've got a second CD out, and I think she wrote all the ones on it. Anyway, she's a tremendous songwriter. And this church, I'm not sure when she wrote it, but this church, this song, We Need the Church, gained its popularity, or whatever you want to say, it got out there where people could hear it just when COVID hit. And I thought, what a timing that was. It was God's timing, because I think you talked about Maryland being liberal. I don't know if Maryland was as bad as Virginia and Kentucky and some of those. North Carolina just said pretty much you're going to shut the church down or limit the assembly. North Carolina governor got sued, and the district court judge set the governor in his place, and he backed off. Amen. That's what Virginia should have done. We won't get into all that politics, but I tell you, when that first started happening, they started, and I don't need anybody in Washington telling me what's essential and what's non-essential. God gave me a brain, and I can do that on my own. But when they failed to leave the church out, I noticed the liquor stores stayed open, the beer joints were open, because they considered that essential. That had been the first thing on my list to go. I tell you, the church is essential. We do need the church. This song just really spoke to us back then. And I asked Natalie, I said, we're not trying to take your song or anything, but can we sing this? Because we go some places you won't go. And I don't know if you've heard it up here or not, but it's got a great message. Listen to We Need the Church.
It's a sanctuary.
of strength and calm, a haven from the storms of life. When all hope seemed gone, it's a tabernacle, a place that stays the same, though life may change. We need the church.
Gethsemane.
to pay. And just before the Father turned away, he said, there'll come a day, your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There'll come a day when the bloodstains in your head declare the hope of every man. Oh, my child, there'll come a day. Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on?
Let's stand and be dismissed. Good to see everybody tonight. I'm glad I came to church.
Amen.
Are y'all glad you came to church? Amen. Get to meet these folks. I think they have a table at the back with some stuff. Bibles. King James Bibles. Amen. And is that right? Amen. Amen. So,
everything's free on our table,
though. Okay.
Okay. We're gonna
have a sometime in a month or so. We're gonna have a memorial service for Milton. Tim will get that together. We're gonna have it here, and I want everybody to come that can. We'll make it so we can be here for the family. You never know that we can see people saved. You know, we'll let Tim talk about Milton and his, if he can get through it, we'll prop him up and everything. But just pray that God gives Tim strength the next couple days. He's got a lot of stuff, legal stuff to handle for Milton, and things to get signed and everything. And so, and plus he misses his friend, so. Just pray for that. And love to see you all out here on Tuesday to help us go out and knock on doors. And if you can't make it, get some tracks and visit your neighborhood and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Brother Glade, close for us, would you?
God, thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for your time and how precious it is. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Help us to never take it for granted, Lord. We thank you for your word, how it never changes, Lord. Thank you for the AG family here tonight. Bless them, keep them safe. Now as we go out, help each of us to be a witness for you, Lord, to tell others about Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.